Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of House of House. I'm Lenny Burnham.
And I'm Andrew Taven. And of course, this is our 55th episode of House of House, but it is our fourth or fifth episode of House of House Guide N, our side show that we're doing while we are not promoting Struck Work. And it is the third or second or fourth episode of Homes of Homes. Ah, you'll see when you look at the description, which is I'm using like Kingdom Hearts naming conventions here, where it's like 38, 24, birth by sleep, hike or whatever. Anyway, this one is on the short story, The Red-Headed League, which should really be called The Guy Who Was a Dipshit. But this is to sum it up real quick, you know, we'll get into the solution to the mystery. But a man comes to Holmes with a mystery. Watson is there, too, as is because his patients, I feel like, must have a real tough time getting an appointment. He is always there. At one point in this, he even says, my patients are boring. Don't worry about that. So this guy comes to Holmes and he's like, hey. So here's a weird thing. I was getting paid to transcribe encyclopedias, and they told me it was just because I had red hair, and then that stopped. So what do you think's up with that? they dig into it, and we will as well.
This is one of my favorite things about Sherlock Holmes stories, is like they hadn't quite gotten a handle on what a like mystery story should be yet. So instead of it, like now, obviously we're like, it's a crime. They're solving a murder. Yeah. They're figuring out who stole things. And then in Sherlock Holmes, it'll just be like, someone shows up and is like, my boss is a little weird. What do you think is going on there? Which is such a like fun fantasy. Cause I'm like, yeah, I do want to be able to go to the greatest detectives in the world and be like, this is the interaction I had yesterday. Please explain this.
Well, it feels like he goes, elementary, my dear Watson. That Twitter user was 14.
Yeah, exactly. There are two different stories I know of, this one and another one, just about someone being like, this job was a little weird, which like now, obviously, like so many jobs on LinkedIn and stuff are like scams. I'm just like, I want that. I want Sherlock Holmes for Jobs to just be like, this one's weird. Will I be okay?
I literally had this happen where, so a little bit ago, Liz told me about some TikToker who talked about going through like actual voiced interviews and then them like saying, oh, you're hired. And then them being like, we need you to go and purchase your remote laptop from this site, and then we'll reimburse you. And then after purchasing, get them going away. And so I think I was targeted by a similar sort of thing where I had someone reach out to me from a company. I don't know if I should name the company. I'll say, let's just call it the Choice Institute. Anyway, so someone's over from the Choice Institute, and we want to interview you for this UX writing position or whatever. And I look up on the website, and there is like a UX writing position, and there is a LinkedIn profile without a picture from the person who says they work here. So clearly, like, there was a little bit of effort put in, right? And so they're like, oh, you have an interview. You have to download Microsoft Teams because we're going to do the interview over Teams. I'm like, okay. And then the time for the interview shows up. And I was like, hey, by the way, you know, Teams is like weird. The camera might not work. And they were like, oh, no, that's fine. This is a chat interview. And immediately I was like, okay, here's the thing where you're talking about like the modern age and the weird stuff and whatever. I'm like, so I have like a few things I'm thinking. One is this is obviously very weird. I've never had this experience before. But it's not inherently like the most crazy thing. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I could see someone, like, as a first round screening thing, wanting to just have something be kind of as straightforward and simple as possible. Liz mentioned afterwards, and I did consider the possibility that this is some sort of interview chatbot. But that felt a little, I thought it was unlikely, because if that was the case, I feel like they would have just said that, like, hi, I am a chatbot does like a pre-interview for Choice Institute or whatever. Because if it is, like, you're going to be able to figure it out. All you have to do is ask it to tell you a joke about a Jewish person, and then it'll tell you it can't. Unless it's like Elon Musk's new AI he's working on, where that's all it does. But I was like, okay, I wasn't getting the sense that this was like a chatbot. Like, the questions were pretty standard, but it didn't seem like it was a chatbot. So I'm like, okay, fine. And they're like, all right, you'll hear back from us or not. I'm like, okay. And so based off prior experience, I'm like, all right, well, if it's anything like the others, if I hear back, there's going to be like 3 rounds of interviews. I'm going to have to talk to people and then be on screens and stuff. And I'm like, all right, oh, I bet that I will have to talk to someone with a voice. And then I get an offer letter, and then I'm immediately like, okay, yeah. No, this isn't whatever this is not real. And so I reach out, I email directly to the actual web. I also notice that the email, I now notice and look, and the email is coming from choiceinstitute.net as opposed to choiceinstitute.com. Which is the actual website. So I email Choice Institute. I don't want to immediately go, oh, you're trying to scam me somehow. Because, like, you want to hold on to that slight possibility where you're like, okay, maybe, let's see what's up. And I was like, all right, I am going to email the actual thing. And it comes back and they're like, please forward us this message. We did not offer you an offer of employment. This is clearly some sort of scam. And I respond, like, happy to do so. Looks like if you ever do need a writer with a good sense of judgment, you know who to reach out to, winky face. Anyway. And then I got a call from someone saying, hey, I had like an answering machine message, and they were like, hey, do you have any more questions? You can message the name was, well, I don't know, maybe they're impersonating a real person, so I don't want to say the name, but so-and-so on Microsoft Teams, if you want to know anything else. And then I just sent an email that said I emailed theactualpeople.com, cease all contact with me. And I haven't heard from them since, because they're probably one or two people who do not want the heat on them. Yeah, it's kind of, I had another instance where I had someone reach out to me through my website once asking if I would do a show for a bachelor party in LA. And I was like, yeah, sure. That'd be great. You'd have to fly me out and whatever. And they're like, okay, here's the weird thing. It's like a naked event. Like, it's a nudist thing. So you would have to perform nude. At this point, I'm like, this is weird. And I ask for an amount of money plus travel that sort of was twofold. It's a bit of a catch-22 where I'm like, okay, this is both the amount of money I think I would actually need to consider performing naked for strangers across the country and to take on, you know, whatever level of possible risk that might entail. Like, this is the actual amount I would consider for that. And also, this amount is so large, there is no way someone who agrees to it is like, it'd be one thing if I was like, I don't know, if they had said, like, if they had come in, they've been like, oh, you're like the favorite comedian, they saw you, whatever, like, they, like, I don't anticipate that would have been, or like I was someone, you know, with some real acclaim. I get that. You want to do something special. But it seemed like they just wanted, like, they were saying this one, like, a comedian. I'm like, okay. And they have this giant amount of money that I asked for. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Reggie. I know. Reggie's suspicious too. And I'm like, okay. That's alarm bells. So what I do is I refer them to a comic in LA who I know has performed on like naked shows and stuff. So they're, you know, this is something they've done before for like probably $40 and a drink ticket. And I'm like, hey, I don't like, here's how much I ask them for. And I'm talking, by the way, if you, if, I might as well say, because it doesn't matter. It's clearly all weird or whatever. This was like, I think I'd asked for like $10,000 plus travel and everything. Like an insane amount of money for someone who is not at least mildly famous. And, you know, so they, so I'm like, hey, here's how much, you know, feel free to undercut me or whatever. Like, I'm not trying. I'm pretty much whatever. You can take this if it's real. But I also was like, also, it's this is weird. So I don't I'm not saying it's real. I'm just saying bring them to you. Then the guy was like, oh, no, I don't know. I really think it should be you. And I'm like, all right, well, now this is very weird. You're going to pay a bunch of money and like travel expenses when you're claiming you live in L.A., which has like fucking 25 comedians per capita. Like very weird. And then the comedian I referred it to got back to me and he was like, hey, did he ask you for pictures? And I'm like, stop talking to him. I'm sorry I referred this person to you. I warned you that this seemed sketchy and weird, but if there was any chance it's real. That, but I'm like, all right, I don't know what this is supposed to be, that they're like, well, first we need to see pictures, and then they like try and blackmail you or something, I'm guessing, which is very weird for your target to then be comedians.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's pretty easy to get nudes of comedians in this day and age.
I don't, it's like such a weird thing of all the people you could try and target, like... I don't know. Not that you should. No one should. But like, of all the people who don't have the resources and also wouldn't suffer that much reputational damage.
Right. From the
blackmail. Like, it's such a weird.
I don't have money for your blackmail. Also, I'm just debasing myself all of the time. Like,
I was offered to perform on a naked show for $40, and I was like, maybe. And I still am like, maybe. Like, it's very weird to think. Anyway, in this case, though, this gentleman who came to Sherlock Holmes did not was not offered $40 to show his fire crotch. Because we know he has fine red hair, but he comes to Sherlock Holmes and he's like, hey, something kind of weird happened. He's like, I had the reason I call him the guy who was a dipshit is because he's mentioning this assistant who is the one who tells him about the weird thing he is bringing up. And this assistant who like came out of nowhere and was like, oh man, I've just always dreamed about working in a pawn shop. So I'll work for half wages. And he's just like, no, he's not, like Sherlock Holmes. Like, what about this assistant? He seems suspicious. And he's like,
My favorite thing about the assistant is that he's casually like, oh yeah, he's always taking photographs and then going into my basement to develop them.
Yeah.
And he like, he says that the way you would like complain about an employee being on their phone too much. Like, oh yeah, you know, sometimes he goes to my basement to develop photographs, but other than that, he's pretty reliable.
That was the equivalent of being on your phone. People complain. Yeah, they would say, well, they're saying you need more bobbies, but whenever I see it, the bobbies are always taking photographs and developing them by the side of the, they didn't have the tube back then, but you get the gist. Yeah, it's weird because he comes and he's like, I don't understand why he's so trustworthy, the assistant, who seems to have worked for him for like less than a year.
Yeah.
It's not like, if this was like a long, long con and like, I don't know, the guy was like, he saved my life. Like they had like orchestrated something and then I gave him a job. I don't know. It's very weird.
Like, you could make it like a nephew or something, but
it's yeah.
Like
the
most conspicuous.
He also mentions that he works, it's him and this guy, he's a widower, and they also have like a woman who works in the house, or like a 14-year-old girl. There's one point I only mentioned because I misunderstood. There's one point when, because they deduce that this whole scheme is to get the redheaded man out of his shop for a few hours every day, one point Sherlock Holmes, like, and it couldn't be to like do any impropriety because there was no woman there. And I was like, wait, don't we explicitly know that there was? Didn't he mention
Yeah, this? Maybe he's saying because it's just like a teenage girl because he is like a house character, like is like Cameron and is like, well, that doesn't happen. She's sure. 14.
But not like a house character. Don't watch it right now. Wait till the strike, the strike's over. We're not promoting it. But he's not like a house character like House, who would be like, yeah.
Right. Specifically Cameron. Yeah. Just like, well, the only girl there's 14, so it's not that.
Reggie, stop yelling. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Hey, I mentioned beforehand, my mother-in-law sent him a squawking chicken toy that squawks when you squeeze it. And I have to like notice whenever I'm doing something where he seems to only be interested in it when I am having an interview or recording something. So this guy who also they, you know, Sherlock Holmes does his Sherlock Holmes thing where he's like, I deduce that you do manual labor and have been to China and, and you're a Freemason. And he's like, well, how could you know all that? And he's like, well, your hands are all fucked up. You have a Freemason pin, which is like of all the things. Okay. And you have like a tattoo of like a Chinese fish. Oh, and you've been writing, which was sort of, I guess that's one where it's like, whatever. You've been writing a lot, which is the only part that was like really relevant. Yeah, this guy, I do not the hardest to deduce around. So he's like, oh yeah, my assistant, super great guy, came in one day and he's like, the Redheaded League, everyone knows about it. It's like Leap Day Williams, the 30 Rock episode. Yeah. Well, you haven't heard of Leap Day Williams? I feel like I probably said this on a podcast before. One of my favorite choices is that you know some exec or some writer in the room for that episode at some point probably said, look, I know I just have to say this because we have to say it. Like, I don't think it'd be better this way, but like, should it be that everyone was pranking Liz? And then everyone thankfully was like, no, in the world of 30 Rock, Leap Day is this weird celebration. Leap Day Williams is a real movie. And Tina Fey, as the audience surrogate character of this episode, just for some reason has never been aware or noticed it. And so they, he's like, you know, goes to the whole thing. He's like, yeah, he came into the Redheaded League. It's this league that everyone knows about, where some redhead billionaire wanted to propagate the redheaded species. And so he pays redheaded men to do simple tasks, and that's it. And they put on a pretty good show, which seems honestly unnecessary for this bullshit. It feels like in retrospect, when they were, you know, debriefing on their scheme day one, they probably were like, "Oh man, we spent so much money paying all these like actors to pretend to wait in line to be part of the Redheaded League."
Well, I guess, did they just run a real ad and people showed up?
Oh, you're right. Oh, interesting. I'm trying to think because I got the sense that that was all part of the scam, but you're right that he does say that they spent the money to actually put the ad there.
It might have been a mix of both where they got like a couple actors to like really be like, oh yeah, I've heard of it before while they were there. And then the rest are like guys who just saw the ad.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes more sense than them like doing a whole Truman Show for this guy. that checks out. Because of course, like, you know, because it's all rigged anyway when they're going through and they're being like, you know, fake, whatever, you're not good enough. They even like, you know, they do like the hard sell, like the, you know, but you wouldn't want this. This is more of a Shelbyville idea or whatever. Where they say like, oh, we have to test your hair and like, oh, but surely you are married and you're going to have redheaded children. He's like, I'm a widower, no family. And they're like, oh, I'll make an exception for you. Like, you know, clever hard sell stuff. It would be funny if he was like so letter of the law guy that he was like, no, I understand that that's not the purpose, and we just need to I missed my opportunity, but I don't want to, you know, impugn the great nature of the Redhead League. And like, all right, now we have to hire like a redheaded prostitute to pretend to fall in love with him. We have to push the timeline back like 6 months. They actually fall in love, and this is like a rom-com situation. Ah, this is all. Anyway, yeah. So they're like, oh, you get the job. You have to copy down the encyclopedia for 4 hours a day, and and if you stop, then you never get paid again. And like, you have to come in even if you're sick. You have to come in even if whatever. You have to piss in a bucket. I don't know. You've got to stay here for those 4 hours. I had thought my little like guess was that they needed to forge his signature for something. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But I guess it's just this was like a kind of busy work task.
My guess was, since the other guy is also redheaded, it was like an alibi thing that someone would be like, no, I saw him in the window at that time.
Yeah, okay. Because, I mean, the thing that, because we do learn, so, you know, going down the whole thing, Sherlock Holmes is like, oh, we're going to visit this guy. Oh, I'm going to tap on the ground and whatever. We learn that the business is next to a bank, or like across from a bank, and that this guy was going down the cellar to dig a tunnel because there was this one night where they have 30,000 Napoleons in their vault from France. They have no security otherwise, unless they think there's an active plot. Like, you would think if they have, it is a little, It's I don't know if it's like suspension disbelief, cinema sins ding or whatever. It is a little odd that the guy is like, oh, this is the most money we've, like, most gold we've ever had in the bank.
I guess they don't say this, but I pictured it being like all the security is in the front of the bank, and that's why it was a clever plan to tunnel
sure.
into the vault.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you have it and they're like, it's like for one night only or whatever, we have all this gold.
Yeah, you just put a guy in there.
Yeah, you got a guy. You have a guy with a gun who sits by the gold. Because here's why I'm thinking that. What if some of the security or like someone who works for the bank is like, you know what? I could go steal this gold and it's like the most gold ever. And maybe I want to do that. Like, you're right, they probably have security out front, but it feels a little odd that they're just like, you know, borderline unguarded. Like,
it is this stupid situation where like Sherlock has to like get cops and they're like, guard a bank, highly unusual, but I'll do it.
Yeah. Or like the cop who he specifically says is kind of a dipshit. He's like, Officer James or whatever,
other than being an imbecile in his profession, he's a really great guy.
Yeah, which is sweet. We all love our himbo cops, right? Yeah. ACAB excludes himbo cops. No, it doesn't. I don't think that's true. But anyway, so it's a little bit. I try to think, because to me, right, it almost feels like I remember one of my favorite mystery shows I watched growing up was on Adult Swim. They had the episodes of Detective Conan, because at least for a kid, and that I'm not sure if you're aware of, is a anime, I think adapted from a manga, very long running, about an adult who gets like poisoned or cursed and becomes a kid. And he's like a brilliant detective. And so he goes around and solves cases. And at least for my kid rememberings, one thing I really liked about it was like the perfect balance where it was possible to guess what the result of the mystery was, but it wasn't like a given.
Yeah, this is this story is really annoying. It's dumb in my opinion, because it is like extremely like you're like, oh, I wouldn't have guessed that because like, why would I? It feels, I think Redheaded League has the exact same energy as on like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or like Hunter x Hunter, where they're like, I found the obvious weakness in your attack, and then it is like the most insane.
It's the kind of thing where like, okay, it's like almost there, but it's just a little like, I feel like I just,
there's so much, the problem is there's so much irrelevant stuff, which I get like the idea of like misleads and like, you know, red herrings and stuff, but this is like literally like, it's not satisfying because you didn't explain anything. There was like no reason for most of this.
I kind of would have wanted like, he, if only like Sherlock Holmes had been like, oh, and Watson, before the concert, I need to make a withdrawal at the bank. And thankfully it's on the way. Like, I don't know, something to be there's a bank in this area. Like, and that honestly, I think would have been enough to be like, oh, okay. Like, I got that, like, him tapping his cane means something. Like, you know, Sherlock Holmes, like, it's because, you know, he goes to the mute and that's fine. He wants to go listen to music and that's not relevant. That's like, okay.
It's very cute that Watson and Holmes go on a date in the middle of the story for no reason. I was just going to say, I think, like, mystery wise, what's frustrating is, it feels like the big mystery is why would they create this Redheaded League? And at the end, you're like, oh, they didn't have to.
Yeah.
The answer is like, they're silly.
That, well, I mean, he sort of does say that. I like that it's kind of like a, I actually do like the character of a John Clay or whatever, the like sort of nobleman bandit or whatever.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that he's this elaborate bandit and that he actually, like, non-sarcastically, when the officer is like, all right, get you out of there, whatever, he's like, please, I am royalty, address me as sir, and whatever, and he goes, all right, lord, get in these handcuffs, sir, and he's like, I will, thank you. Like, that's fun. I like him.
I mean, when it's like, when they get to the villain, he's great.
Yeah. But it's just,
they also have, they put in a line that's like, well, they just had to get him out of the office for 4 hours a day. And if you think about it, they really couldn't have come up with any other way.
It feels like they definitely could have. Because the guy is like, I get that. It's like, it's almost a thing where it's like, well, that's too weird for someone to make up.
He also already was letting this guy go into his basement to develop photographs for long periods of a time. So it almost feels like you didn't even need to get him out of the house.
It's like, I mean, it's also like, you know, he runs a pawn shop. Couldn't they just have like had the accomplice come in and like, I don't know, different people coming in with weird requests at the pawn shop, right? Where like,
yeah. I mean, the assistant could even just be like, you go home early, I'll close up a few nights, right? Like,
Yeah, that's also weird because he's like, most of our activities are done in the evening. And it's like, yeah, but you're not there all night, are you? Like, it is just a little like, you know, it's a bit elaborate. And then I think it's a little frustrating because, like I said, the thing with the like copying down where I was like, oh, I bet they're trying to forge a signature is I was like, okay. I get that the activity he's doing is essentially a red herring. And I don't know if it's like, well, it should have been the one that I guessed, because that's better.
Yeah, I think it's just like one too many misleads where you're like, at this point, the end isn't satisfying because it's actually like not related to all this stuff.
You know, not to,
You just want all the details to come together and be like, oh, that's why Redheaded Men and that's why Encyclopedia Britannica and... Yeah,
I mean, like, to punch up a little bit, like, what if, because also, again, the fact that he's just like, oh, yeah, no, this guy, he's my most trustworthy assistant ever. How long have I known him? This long. You know, like, he acts very weird, but I appreciate that. I think if he had been like his nephew or something and there was like an inheritance. And so he was getting like to try and forge his signature, right? Like, I feel like there's something you could have done that would have been like more kind of related to the task, because I don't know. It's very weird that like my whole thing with as someone who has, you know, been applying for jobs, it's sort of, and you're like, is this a scam? Is this whatever? Is if it's not immediately clear, like if someone's offering you like a job to like, you know, oh, it's easy. You just have to like buy these gift cards with the money we give right. you and drop them off over here. You're like, oh, well, that's for something illegal. Like,
yeah, it's weird because like they have this whole explanation of like the Redheaded League, but you're like, that actually doesn't really answer the question, because then you're like, why don't you just give me the money? Like, it doesn't explain at all why I have to do this menial task.
Yeah, it's I guess you're supposed to be like, it's a challenge of what? Of being a dipshit. Like, I don't, like, it's,
like, it would make more sense if they were like, you have to attend these Redheaded League meetings each week where we discuss issues that affect redheaded men or whatever.
I guess the problem is that would have cost more money and then you would need more accomplices. But yeah, that sounds good. Or like, you know, you're the guy, the other guy, although I guess he was going to go help with the tunnel and that's why he didn't show up for most of the time. Like, he's going to whatever, read off develop global redhead developments and he needs you to take notes. And this is like, you know, it's a job that needs to be done, but the reason why you're getting it and getting paid more than a person would for it is because this is, you know, the whole redheaded. He's also a Freemason, which I don't know. Could he have? It's weird that he's like, yeah, no, I just love joining weird secretive organizations. I feel like, I mean, I know Freemasons still exist. I know that it's like, you know, there are all these conspiracy theories, but really it's just like the water buffaloes from Flintstones or whatever, where people just get around and wear funny hats or something. I used to work in a building that shared a space with a Freemason lodge, and Bill Clinton came to talk to them one time. Wow. So yeah, If you want to feel like you're justified in some level of conspiratorial thinking, there you go. There was someone who, because 9/11 was this week, the anniversary. yeah, we're recording this way in the past, just released from the vault. And there was like some guy who had like screen capped, like, look at these web domains that were purchased like the year before 9/11, and they included like Twin Tower terror attack, Twin Tower disaster, Twin Tower this, and a lot of people were like, well, that it was .com boom, people were buying up everything, and then for some reason even fewer people pointed out there was a previous attack on the Twin Towers in 1993. Right. Someone who wanted to sit on the domain for anyone looking for information about that would have done that. Like, that's not insane. I mean, that's the whole conspiratorial thinking, where just like people, until someone cares about something, they never are able to be like, okay, this thing seems weird to me. Like, you saw us with the election and whatever. They're like, oh, it's weird that this county didn't stop counting until whatever time. And it's like, well, is that different than every year? And they're like, I don't know, I haven't cared or paid attention since now. It's like, well, if it's not, then, you know, that's it's tough. I mean, X is just obviously getting worse and worse. It's insane how just openly anti-Semitic Elon Musk is. It's weird because, and this isn't like obviously a good thing, but in modern day America, and bigotries are always shift around and stuff, you can get away with like so much more open racism or open transphobia in general public sphere and discourse than you can with like open anti-Semitism. Not like, you know, oh, Israel did this thing and some people are like, that's anti-Semitic to criticize Israel. I mean, like actually, like, you know. Right. the real stuff, the stuff that he responded to, where someone said, oh, here's a chart of, they asked a bunch of college students, whether you think it's more important to have free speech or a welcoming environment for everyone. And they were like, huh, this Jews chose welcoming environment by 67%. And Elon Musk responded like, exclamation point, like that kind of thing. Undeniably, like, which also, like, the point of asking a question like that is that neither answer is overwhelmingly wrong. Like, the which of the two is more important? And then they are two good values to have. Like, if I said, like, what's more important? Keeping people safe or letting them make their own choices?
Right.
You can make arguments for both of those. like, yes, you can be like you can take a bad faith interpretation of either one. If you say keeping people safe is more important, you're like, you think that everyone should be under a dictatorship and locked in a cell, a padded cell. And if you say that letting them make their own choices is important, you're like, oh, so you think that people who make medicine should be allowed to just put bleach in it because people could choose to make the, like, you can literally, when you have two positive values, then you can argue either way about that. Like, it's very wild to be like, oh, one of those is clearly the right answer, when the whole point is these are two good things that can be in contention with each other, and we need to figure out what to prioritize in different situations. Anyway, as we're all aware of, but yeah, I also do love that Holmes says to Watson, like, by the way, Watson, bring your gun. I hope you're prepared to kill someone.
Yes. This is my favorite thing about the Sherlock Watson ship dynamic, is that sometimes he'll just be like, yeah, be sure you bring your gun. And if shit goes down, don't be afraid to shoot someone to protect me. That's
yeah.
So good.
It feels fun. It feels great. It's
I love that he brings, like, he alerts the actual cops to this, but he's still like, and Watson should come and bring his gun.
He's like saying, like, you know, yeah, feel free to shoot anyone. You have license to kill, Watson. And he's just like, you know, don't worry. I talk to the cops. They're like, not like real people. Like, it's fine. Like, I think you should leave. Like, they're not even, no, like, they said, like, it's fine. Like, they're not even like real. It's fine. So the, yeah, the, I mean, the, it's a little frustrating because I like the idea of this weird thing that someone sets up, but it's like you said, it's like, well, when like nothing is relevant, then it does feel a little bit like, so this could have been anything. It could have been like, you know, oh, it's so weird. There was a circus outside every day, and my assistant said that you should go have fun, ride the merry-go-round for a couple hours. So I did, and then I was like, oh, the circus stopped coming. Like,
yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, it's just such an early mystery story, and you're like, I guess for being one of the first detective stories, it's fine, but it's like, we're just comparing it to now, where I'm just like, if this was an episode of Chicago PD, I would be like, what is wrong with them? Like,
it feels kind of like one of those bad riddles that you get.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It really has the vibe of like when you're a kid and you try to write a mystery story.
Yeah, you're like,
yeah, sure.
Oh, there was a, you know, water on the ground and a knife, and they had a. Yeah, I mean, oh, that one's almost
like,
kind
of as
good.
You pointed out, the fact that like part of the payoff is him being like, well, there's a bank right there, which has never come up in the story until now.
And again, and it could have without giving anything away, because he does other irrelevant stuff. So I'm trying to think of like an actual good example of a bad riddle, because the water ice one is, the knife ice water pool or whatever, is kind of good, I guess. I mean, all those riddles are like, oh, there are a bunch of people dead in a cabin, how'd it happen? Oh, it's an airplane cabin. I think the the what's actually okay, now I'm actually a little bit revising because I am trying to think like what makes a good mystery. You want to have like the guy where he's like stabbed in the back and there's a knife in a puddle of water. Like that one is good because there's like a clear, like the most obvious answer is like, well, he couldn't have stabbed himself and it's a locked room or whatever. And you're like, oh, a puddle of water. Okay. That was like, you can kind of piece it together and there's enough clues you can sort of figure out. The airplane cabin one is a problem because you're just like, I don't fucking know. They ate cyanide. Like, what do you like? anything. They died. Like, yeah. I mean, the degree of, you mentioned, so, oh, are you reading or watching Hunter x Hunter for?
A little bit. Is that how it's pronounced?
It is.
Is the X silent?
I know. Okay. It's very, it's weird. It is. I don't know why that's the case, but yes, it's just called Hunter x Hunter.
Okay.
But
yeah, I just watched the one where the guy like turns him into a dartboard and at the end he's like, oh no, I just like placed something on my forehead that stopped your bow from hitting my forehead.
Yeah. Did you start from the beginning or did you like start with Pandaria?
No, I started towards the end.
Okay, that's fine. I was like, oh, you've seen a lot of it. Like that's, yeah. No. Hunter x Hunter's good. There is some good stuff. Definitely the PA. There's stuff that, anyway, but point being, no, because I was just thinking in terms of, have you heard of like Danganronpa?
No.
So Danganronpa is a game and they made an anime out of it, but where the premise of it, like starting out, is that these high school students are essentially trapped in a situation where they have to, they're trapped in a school. If you, and there's like this bear, you know, sadistic bear mascot that's taunting them. And if they, if you murder someone and get away with it, you get to leave and everyone else gets executed. But if you murder someone and the rest of the students figure out it was you, then you're executed. Mm. And so, it's a sort of similar thing. The mystery's like, kind of good, but it depends. Some of them are better than others, but it's like the kind of thing where it's like, you know, pretty elaborate. But they, yeah, the level of like mystery and mystery writing is always, you saw Death on the Nile, did you?
Yeah, I don't remember a ton of like the plot points, but I did see it.
Death on the Nile is one where I did not think it was, aside from the issues with the movie itself, the fact that like the murderer is exactly who you would think it was and it's unclear why.
My favorite part of that movie was there's a part where they like reveal someone is secretly gay and are just like, so obviously she had motive, and then just like move on, like there's no further explanation. They're just like, you know how gay people are probably killers.
There was an ad now for A Haunting in Venice, and it goes, a spooky mystery, perfect for the fall season. And I was like, does someone have a trademark on Halloween? Like how you can't say Super Bowl, you have to say big game. I was like, just say like for the Halloween season. Like what do you,
yeah.
It's like, why are you saying, I was trying to think of another. Oh, we also, I watched for the first time since Blank Check is going to be covering Fincher now, or they've started covering Fincher. Mm-hmm. I watched Seven for the first time, which I hadn't seen before, which I assume you have. I feel like that's.
Yes. My favorite thing about that was that he supposedly checked out suspicious library books and it's literally just what they assign you in AP3.
I think it's tough watching something like Seven now in a post-Seven world because so much of it, like you're like, okay, is some of this meant to be a little bit kind of tongue-in-cheek? Like is John Doe, like when you watch like Hannibal, the TV show Hannibal, you're like, Hannibal, a lot of the people who he works with are dipshits, but Hannibal is like clearly meant to be like very intelligent, very like the show Although we all can agree he's a problematic character. The show clearly believes that Hannibal is very intelligent, very adept. And I'm not totally sure the degree to which Seven, not that matters a whole lot, but the degree to which Seven thinks John Doe is this incredible master criminal versus like kind of weird and like when he's like talking to Brad Pitt in the car or whatever, spoilers, by the way, for a movie only I hadn't seen. So I don't think anyone else, like he, when he's like, you know, saying his whole thing, like,
I'm gonna step away for a second, but you can keep talking because okay, I have sure. AirPods in.
So when he is saying his whole thing, like, are we supposed to think to some degree, wow, when his plan actually comes off and he provokes Brad Pitt into killing him, are we supposed to be like, wow, the plan really did go off and he really did do his masterpiece and this really will impact people? Or are we supposed to be like, oh, this was a bunch of senseless violence and it sucks that he got pulled into this? I mean, obviously you're not necessarily supposed to think one or the other. You can feel about it how you want, but it is sort of interesting the degree to which obviously Morgan Freeman doesn't want Brad Pitt to shoot this suspect in view of everyone, because he you know, that's not what you're supposed to do, and it wouldn't go well for Brad Pitt's life. But he almost, the urgency almost feels like him being like, oh no, like, if he does this, it'll summon the demon. You know what I mean? Like, the urgency at the end almost makes it feel like he's like, he'll actually pull off his plan. And like, he will, but also his plan only means something to Kevin Spacey. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. I also think it's funny that when they're like, the guy in the truck comes over at the end, the helicopter people are like, keep your gun trained on John Doe. It's like, wait, why? He literally has like Brad Pitt with a gun to his head and he's like chained up. Whatever the unknown guy in the truck is coming with, it feels like they should focus on him. He could have a gun. It's very weird. That they're just like, they, it's always funny to me when people treat criminals like human, regular human criminals, like they're X-Men or something.
Right. Yeah.
Like when there was like an attempt, I don't remember if it went through, but to bring Guantanamo prisoners into like American max security prisons. And they were like, how could you let them on American soil? It's like, they're not Magneto. Like, right. You don't need to, like, they're just a guy. You don't need to, like, you know, leaving aside the whole thing of innocent people in Guantanamo and the war on terror, yada, yada. But just like from a human capability perspective, if you're, there are people who, especially because in that case, assuming worst case scenario and people who are actually guilty, it's people who like, I don't know, were working in a team to make a bomb or something. Whereas like a lot of the people in max security prisons are just like, horrible knife murderers. Like, I don't know. It's weird to treat it that way. People were nuts then, obviously, and still nuts in all sorts of ways. But yeah, I definitely liked it overall. It does have a little bit of the which I guess Dark Knight was probably, everything that came after Seven, I'm sure, was somewhat Seven inspired. Dark Knight was probably Seven inspired to some degree. I know the new one is supposed to be like Zodiac inspired, even though I haven't seen it. But like, it does remind me a little of the Dark Knight thing where it's like, you think I have a plan? Like, I'm just, and it's like, yeah, you know, you have a very elaborate plan. You have plans with fail safes and different directions. Like, this took so much time to pull off. Like, the degree of like, I mean, some of it also is like, I don't know. It's not, he's not supposed to be a good guy. You're not supposed to think John Doe is a good guy. But like the one, the lust kill in particular, I'm like, ugh, that's a real, I don't know. I mean, I guess because it's sexual violence, which always feels like as a, God, I'm trying to think of a more electric connotation in the sense of like touching a third rail, like it's a high voltage thing, not electric like spicy or whatever. The guy who was like, I do think it's a little weird. We need to do background checks for dangerous BDSM gear. The guy who they go to who was like, he wanted a custom piece. You know, it was a strap-on blade cock. I'm like, I'm all for people not hurting, you know, doing whatever they want consensually, not hurting each other. That guy should have probably had to file a report or something when the guy came in and asked for a strap-on blade cock. Like, he's like, I thought it was like a performance piece. Performing what? That's the one where I'm like, I don't know. It sort of comes back again to the like, how much of a genius is this guy? Where you're like, all right, a lot of the stuff, you're like, oh, he left, you know, the money and the envelope for a year. Like, okay, this is, you know, crazy stuff he's doing. And they mentioned at one point that he's like got rich, he had rich parents or something. So sure, he can afford to do this stuff. But the idea that he's like walking into a BDSM supply store and like, yeah, so I want a special custom piece made. It's a blade cock. And the guy's like, no problem, sir. Second Amendment right. Like, you don't have to worry about this. Like, I don't know. At some point, you do feel like that he could have come up with something that didn't require him to put himself out there that degree. But I guess he lucked out in having, you know, those people are by trade going to be pretty pretty discreet, I guess. I came up with the idea for a not at all topical sketch character called Library Cop, who just shows up to like crime scenes where it's like very straightforward, like, oh, this was a drug deal gone bad, you can see you know, this bag of drugs and they clearly shot each other, and he just goes, all right, I'm going to get inside his head, and checks out books on, like, I don't know, the drug war and this and that, and is like reading up all night, and like just like, Library Cop, please, we know who the killer is. Just like being held up at gunpoint, going to being like, wait a second, would you accompany me to the library? And being like, interesting. I like it overall. 7, pretty engaging movie. I've seen most of the Finchers, but not Aliens 3 or The Game or Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You think David Fincher will ever try and make a Sherlock Holmes movie?
Probably not.
Let's see if he's ever considered. Oh, okay. This is interesting. 10 movies that David Fincher almost directed. Do you know? I wonder, Lenny, if you know what any of these are. I assume we're pretty much we're just sort of fiddling around until we get to like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to wrap up? I don't have any opinions on David Fincher.
Oh, okay. Then we probably shouldn't do that. He almost directed Batman Begins. Is there a different director you want to guess which movies they almost made?
Well, that's not fair, because I would just pick a director that I know.
That's a good point. Did you know that David Fincher apparently almost ended up directing, or not almost, but met with Kathleen Kennedy to direct Star Wars Rise of Skywalker?
Huh.
Sounds like a courtesy meeting. If any. David, you know, welcome. We're at Musso and Frank's or whatever. How was the 405? You can see I've spent a lot of time in LA. Yeah, sure. We can wrap up. The one other thing I will say about 7 is that there was a funny comment on the Blank Check subreddit that someone made where they're like, I bet Morgan Freeman would have more friends if he didn't answer everything anyone said to him all cryptically. Where he's just like, yeah, I've been in the city a long time, too long. It's like, why don't you just have a conversation?
Oh, also on the Redheaded League, we should point out that there is a character in this named Mr. Wilson, and I like the idea of a House fan insisting that Wilson isn't based on Watson, but is actually based on
Well, I mean, obviously, because Wilson's a Freemason.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that guy ever comes back in any future Sherlock Holmes stories. He just comes back and he's like, yeah, they, I know that last time it turned out to be fake, but now I've been inducted into the Uncircumcised League. And I was wondering, you know, they inspect my cock and then they said that I'm good to go. I have to copy this stuff down. Do you think that's weird? I mean, it's England, so I don't know. I feel like everyone's in that league, but all right. Well, this has been the Redhead League. We should review it. And seven. So we're gonna give it, I think, what we decide on, 1 to 5 heroin poppies.
Sure.
Okay. Opium poppies. 1 to 5 opium poppies. Here's the thing. Compared to, and again, these are like the first Sherlock Holmes stories I'm reading. Compared to A Scandal in Bohemia, I like that it is attempting to be a mystery. Like, it has some degree of mystery to it. A Scandal in Bohemia was just like, I have a funny disguise idea. and this one, it is trying to be a mystery, which I like. I don't remember what I gave A Scandal in Bohemia, but I think I'm going to give this a 3. I don't know, though. I kind of am going to give it a 2.5 because I anticipate that there's going to be an improvement in the quality of mystery crafting. So we'll see. I should check what the next one is. You can, if you want to review.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it a 2. There's just not enough in this story that does it for me, even though I do love Holmes taking Watson on a date for no reason. Holmes politely asking if he has doctor stuff to do and Watson being like, no, obviously. And Sherlock being like, okay, Watson, you have to bring your gun and shoot at the first sign of trouble. Like, that stuff's good, but there just wasn't really enough for me. So I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. And so the next one that we will be covering, gonna go ahead no matter what happens, strike wise, we will be covering at least one more. We're going recording by recording. The next one is the tale A Case of Identity, which is a funny framing to me because it reminds me of like the Twitter joke, kind of a Chapo-esque Twitter joke of like saying someone has a case of psychology.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like how it's not like mistaken identity or anything. It's just like, oh, I mean, everything is a case of identity.
It sounds like John Stuart Mill or like David Hume or whatever philosophical text or something. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us on this Homes of Homes journey. Lenny, what do you want to plug?
Yes. You can follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Lenny Burnham. And I don't remember if I plugged this yet, but I do have a self-published erotic short story on Amazon now. It's called I Bet You Think About Me by Lenny Burnham. I pack a lot of sex into it. It got a lot of satire about how studio executives are dumb and bad, which is relevant now more than ever. And if you have the like Kindle Direct subscription, you can read it for free. Otherwise, it's like $2. And it's also my pinned tweet, so that's an easy way to find it.
Now, Lenny, don't you think that it would have been better for the plot if whenever something sexy was about to happen, you said, and then they started doing stuff. A little bit later, they were both covered in sheets and talking to each other.
A one-page story.
Yeah.
I'll do that next time.
I did see someone say, and I'm – it's the kind of thing where, again, you have to remember, like, all these weirdo X users or kids. People who still have the mentality of kids. But it is, someone did say, and I do think there's something interesting to this, that the fact that porn is like so easily and widespread available now to kids, where it's just like on their phones, that they have this weird sense that if you're watching sex, it should be a private activity, because like you wouldn't watch porn with other people, which obviously is not correct, but is an interesting potential angle on this general derangement that exists. So who knows? The weird thing I saw someone say is they were like, oh, I wouldn't want my porn to look like a movie. And I'm like, really? I feel like when you see like a good sex scene in a movie, it's shot like a movie, which is shot much better than what the standard is for porn. Anyway, called I Bet You Think About Me, right?
Yes, okay. I Bet You Think About Me.
Go look up, go read I Bet You Think About Me. Don't only tweet if you like it. Don't tweet about how it should have focused on the plot more. and for me, Andrew Taven, at Andrew Taven on X. I don't know if you also feel this way or if I'm just a whiny loser, but I feel like even before the weirdo took over, I feel like they've been messing the algorithms up. They messed up the algorithms, but go follow me there. I don't know. Also andrewtaven.com, see what shows I'm doing, including the murder mystery comedy show, the next one, which will be coming out a little after this episode releases. It is on September the 27th at 6 p.m. at Young Ethel's. So if you like mysteries, and if you listen to this, you clearly do, come. You can solve a murder and have lots of laughs. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
From all of us here at the home of homes, I hope you have a very pleasant evening.